Welcome to The Focus Radio. Hi, my name is Mike Brenhog, the Focus Guy and host of The Focus Radio Show. And we have an awesome guest on our show today that I'm excited to have the opportunity to have Danny Creed, our guest. Not only is he a master business coach, but also an author. So we're going to be talking about both here. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have Danny on the show, and if you're an entrepreneur and business owner and you're listening to this, you know that I've talked about that your life and your business life are one. I never see any separation, and there's things that come up in our personal life that impact our business life. And I'll tell you, Danny has an amazing story in his book. It's a story of life, death, and second chances. And you can be trucking along as a business owner. Everything is great. And then all of a sudden, something shakes your world upside down. And that's why I wanted to have Danny on the show. So Danny, welcome to the Focus Radio Show. How are you?
Thank you very much, Mike. I'm great today. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, and I like to frame that up for the guest, you know, about that, because truly, and I know that you've experienced this probably as a business coach and shared with your clients, boy, when you're a business owner, there is no 8 to 5.
Well, you know, it's interesting you worded it the way you did, because that's something I believe in. And when I sit down, I had a coaching session this morning with a brand new client. And the first thing I said, I'd make them put their hands together and entangle their fingers. Mm-hmm. And I said, look at this. That's the way the myth, it's a myth to say that you can have work-life separation if you're an entrepreneur or business owner. You've got to figure out how to very cleanly, clearly, yes, mold the two of them. Otherwise, your business is going to just go out the window. You've got to figure out how to make them both work, how to have a life, and then how to work the business, and you're never going to separate them. It
right.
has to be there, and you have to understand the strategies around that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're on the same page on that. That is for sure. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that talk about the work-life balance, but you know, and maybe when you're in a, you know, working for somebody else and you're on a regular schedule, that can work. But you know, Danny, as a business owner, you're always thinking about the business.
Always. Well, you have to. And,
yeah.
And so it's a matter of, I was raised, fortunate enough to be raised by some of the old masters, Brian Tracy, who's currently a business partner, and Zig Ziglar and Dennis Waitley and some of those guys, you know, and Mike, they always preached that, and you don't hear it much anymore because the world is so full of fads and mm-hmm. let's try this. You know, what they preached is Zig used to say, if you ever heard Zig Ziglar speak.
I love Zig.
Oh, he used to tell me, he said, you know, Danny, you know, like the yeah. minister and your grandfather. He
yeah.
said, you know, Danny, there's a recipe to success and it doesn't change. And his point was that, and I've learned since then of traveling around the world and coaching and training, that there's a foundational recipe for success. And I can coach people on this foundational recipe anywhere in the world in any kind of business, no matter how large or small, that the foundational recipe for success remains the same. And when you talk about that work-life balance, it's all those foundational issues like priority, understand mm-hmm. how to prioritize things, and then manage the time around those. It's goal setting, focus,
absolutely,
clarity. All those things are foundational. And I always say, don't do any fancy stuff. Don't try any fads until you're absolutely sure that you've got the foundation solid.
Love it. That's perfect.
Great. Let's go.
We can end right there, because that right there is so key. And so I'll share with you, and this certainly is not what the show is about, if for those of you that are listening, but what Danny said, if you can just harness that, it's about the foundation. And my coaching company, Blue Rock Coaching, is all about the foundation. It's when you have that solid foundation, the sky is the limit. And so not only does Danny believe in that and something that I follow, but he just shared that Zig Ziglar, Dennis Waitley, Brian Tracy, all these, you know, bright thought leaders that have been doing this forever and a day. This is what they're teaching, practicing, and preaching, and because that's what works. And like Danny said, don't get caught up in the fads, because there is a lot of coaching fads out there. But nothing can substitute just good old hard work, having that foundation. There is no shortcut, right, Danny?
Well, you know, Zig would tell me, so, you know, it's like having a the one similarity between a 40-story skyscraper and a three-bedroom house is that if the foundation isn't solid, they'd both just fall over. And it's the same with anybody's business and life.
Yeah.
If you don't have the foundation. I work with a gentleman for 5 years now, and when we first got together, he ran a construction company. When we first got together, he had no foundation at all. This was a 26-year-old company who had never had a website. You know, they had no foundation, and when I ask, when I talk about foundation, it's like, what are your numbers? I mean, this guy had a CPA,
yeah.
But I said, what are your numbers? How much you sell last month? He goes, I don't know. It's in a stack over there. And I go, whoa, stop. And we had incredible success because I forced him to go back and get the foundation solid. Mm-hmm. I work with a $1 billion family-owned business, multi-billion-dollar. And the first thing we did, I said that, and they kind of balked. And I go, no, if you don't want to do that, I resign. And so they said, okay. And we went back and found things that they had stopped doing that they knew worked. Foundational things of onboarding and training, mm-hmm. and focus and knowing numbers. And
you have to know the numbers.
And clarity.
Yes.
And things like, how has our market changed? How has our consumer changed? How do they acquire information? And I force them. It's incredible. They've been successful, and they don't see that the end is near if they're not mm-hmm. willing to change and adjust and shift and be flexible. You know, I have a saying that for entrepreneurs, when I speak to them, I said, look, if you continue to do business the way you've always done business, you're going to be out of business.
There
and
you
it's
go.
A fact in today's world.
Absolutely. Yep. And not only is it a fact, but, you know, I want to encourage those that are listening to take everything that Danny is saying and use that not only as an eye opener, but as a catalyst for change. There's a reason that you're probably listening to this show.
Yes.
You're looking for some kind of nugget to help you get to the next level, to grow your business. Well, I can tell you, Danny just mentioned a ton of them. Build a foundation.
Yep.
Know the numbers. And when the numbers, it's your financials, it's your sales numbers. And, you know, how many deals or how many opportunities do you or your sales team need to touch in order to close? Do you know what your close conversion ratio? You need to know all that as a business owner. And Danny, I'm surprised at how many people don't know that. And that's what you're talking about. Know the numbers, build that foundation so that it's solid.
Most of them don't.
They don't. I want to transition over to, so for those listening here, again, you're listening to the Focus Radio Show, and the guest that we have on is Danny Creed. Not only is he a master business coach, and Danny, I read somewhere in your bio here that you have over 8,000 hours logged coaching hours.
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Okay. So I think you know just a little bit.
I've made a lot of mistakes, Mike.
There you go.
And I share them.
Yes. And that's what it's about. But I want to transition because, you know, and I've read your book here, the bio of the book, or
yep.
the summary of the book, I should say. And so here you are trucking along, and then all of a sudden, you're faced with some news. So I want to transition. Share. Okay. For the listeners, what was going on at that point? How did that not only rock your world, but how did you rebound from that? Share us more about this book.
Yeah, well, here's what happened in a nutshell, and I know we're limited on time. I had been back. I'm from Kansas. I was raised on a wheat farm back there, and then I got mm-hmm. the entrepreneurial bug and did 14 startup businesses and been part of over 400 turnaround businesses. And but my family's still back on the farm, and I went back to visit my mother, who was very sick in Kansas, and I came back, and I had to go to Vancouver, Canada, to make a speech on a Wednesday in September, and I came home and got ready, got up that morning, headed to the airport. My wife's taking me to the airport, and it was really weird, Mike, in that I wasn't feeling very good. It wasn't like I felt sick or anything, but it's hard to explain unless you read the book. But I felt like I was dying. And it wasn't like I was going, oh, you know, I'm falling over. It was just, I just said, oh my gosh, I don't feel good. So as we're headed to the airport, we're literally at the turn to go into the airport, the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. I said, I know there's an afternoon flight. As long as I can get to Vancouver tonight, let's just go to the hospital and just get checked out. So she pulled up the emergency room. I got out, went in, and she went to park. I walked up and said the two magic words, I have chest pain and I have good insurance. And they, and they took me back and did an EKG. Before my wife got into the in from parking the car, a doctor came in and said, quote, Dan, you have less than 48 hours to live, give or take a few hours. And I went,
holy crap.
And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, you have 48 hours to live, give or take a little bit. Your heart's dying. It just decided to die. We got to do something now. So they were hauling me down a hallway on a gurney as my wife comes in and goes, what's happening? I mean, things got serious real fast. Long story short, I got in there. They did some tests. They said, you know, all of a sudden these tests are looking to harvest veins and all kinds of stuff. And I ended up going in to, and within the next 6 hours, I went in and had a triple bypass heart surgery.
Wow.
And it was really weird. And I don't know what your listeners believe in, but my mother came to me in a vision or dream or whatever. And she was sitting on a rock and by a stream. And she looked right at me right before I went out for surgery. And she goes, Danny, you're going to be just fine. She laughed all the time. She said, you're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. You're going to come out of the other end great. And then it just went black. Boom. I was out. Next thing I remember, my mind kind of clicked on. And the score of things, this was like 6 hours, 7 hours later. Mm-hmm. My mind clicked on and I was in this big black dark void. I remember it was just chasmous. It was just black. And there was a plate glass window in front of me. It was like stained glass. And it was like there was a hole in it. And I'm sitting there going, where the heck am I? What is going on here? And my mom's voice came to me again. And she goes, you're not supposed to be here. Danny, get out of here now. And I remember I backed up. I ran and jumped through this hole. And that's when I woke up. And I was fighting and shaking, Mike, and, you know, really struggling.
Wow.
And the nurse came over. It was a male nurse in ICU. And he goes, okay, calm down, calm down. You know, he got me calm down. And then he came over about 10 minutes later, and he goes, look, I got to ask you something. You've been laying here laughing for the last 10 minutes. And I go, laugh? He goes, yeah, that didn't happen a lot here. And I go, well, I guess it's because my mom told me I'd be okay. So they called downstairs, and they told my wife and my kids, they said, you're okay. He's okay. He's going to survive. So my wife calls my sister, who was sitting with my mother in the hospital in Kansas. And 4 minutes later, my mom died. 4 minutes.
Unbelievable.
It was like she was there to help me through it. I don't know. But we checked the death certificate. My sister flew out about 4 months later, and we checked all the timelines because it was just so weird. So mom passed. And so the where the book then begins is that the next morning, the surgeon, which was one of the top surgeons in the Southwest, he came in and said, look, I checked you out. I know what you do for a living. You're a business coach. You speak all over the world. And he goes, I want to challenge you. And, you know, like if I challenge you, Mike, you know what that means.
It's right.
Get out of the way.
Okay. Yeah.
So I go, okay. And this is only like 6 hours since the surgery. I mean, you know, I got out.
So you're 11 probably still trying to come off all the, you know.
Oh, no, get this. No, an hour after I woke up, they got me up and made me walk. But anyway, so this was like 6:30 in the morning. The surgeon came and he goes, I'm going to challenge you. He says, people who I give this, the key word here is second chance. Mm-hmm. People that get a second chance that I give them usually don't honor their second chance. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, they go out and eat cheeseburgers and they drink and they smoke. And they said, well, I got a new heart. You know, let's go rock and roll and party again.
Right.
And he goes, I'm going to challenge you. What are you going to do to honor your second chance? Well, Mike, I should have got, you know, I should have bought stock and sticky notes because I had my wife bring them up and I had sticky notes all over this hospital room. I was there 7 days. And I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to honor the second chance for me? What am I going to do to honor this? And things started evolving, you know, and I started saying, you know, golly, gee, it's not the big stuff. I was thinking I'm going to come up with this world-shattering
right
thing. Mm-hmm. And what I found was, as it started to develop, that the real important stuff was the small things that we know we need to do and we should be doing every day. It's mastering the art of making that a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got home from the hospital after 7 days, and I went through hell. The after effects of the anesthesia affected me, as it will some people, from the standpoint I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep for about a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
Every time I'd close my eyes, I'd hear what I call the what if demons.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'd hear voices, man. It just drove me nuts. And they would say, you know, what if you would have got on that airplane to go to Vancouver? You
right
wouldn't have came back. You know, what if, you know. And I just couldn't sleep. So I did everything I could think of. I mean, I read positive thinking books. I did meditation. I did everything. I took sleeping pills. It didn't help. So I was on my edge. I was I slept in a chair for a couple of weeks because my back hurt so bad. Because you know, when they split your chest open, that does things to your back, ribs, and
well, and they take almost like a crowbar, right?
To pry you open. I'm telling you, that's unnatural. Yeah. Believe me. So I'm laying there, and I said, you know, the only thing I haven't done of all the things I've listed here, the only thing I haven't done is to said a little prayer. So I sat there and I wrote it in the book, but it was something to the effect of, Lord, just help me figure out a way to sleep. Thank you. Amen. You know, that was about it.
Short and simple.
And I'm telling you, and I went to sleep. It's like setting goals. It has to be pretty clear, right? So I went to sleep real quickly and I started hearing the demons again. I remember that. And then a hand appeared to me wrapped around a yellow piece of paper. Why yellow? I'll never know. But a yellow piece of paper, and again, I believe it was my mother's voice, but it said, read this now. And I remember in my dream or vision, I looked at it, and it said, life is best lived than feared.
Love it.
And I woke up, and I went, holy cow, I get this answer, you know, holy. And I go write it down in the bedroom, and I sat down in my chair again in the darkness, and I started laughing out loud, woke my wife up, and go, holy crap. And then I start crying like a baby, and I go right to sleep like a baby. I get up the next morning, and you know, my logical mind now is going, okay, I heard that somewhere.
Right.
So I went through every book. I'd read about 15 positive books, you know, while I was in the hospital and at home. I went through the internet, looked it up, couldn't find it anywhere. So I truly believe that was a sign. And to finish this story out, because there's a lot to tell there, but to finish it out, I sat down and go, you know what? That's the first way I'm going to honor my second chance. I'm going to live life, because believe me, man, when somebody tells you you've got less than 48 hours left and we don't know how much, believe me. You know, here's the thing I challenge you and your listeners to. You know, a lot of the coaches will say, so if you had 48 hours to live, what would you change? I'll tell you right now, you can't change anything. It's done. All you can think about is what should I have been doing?
Right.
You can't change anything if you have 48 hours. So I said, that's the first premise I'm going to write. And what happened out of that, Mike, is I created what is called the 11 commitments. And the 11 commitments or 11 decisions are in the book. And the 11 decisions are the things that are fairly simple that we all need to do, but we need to, and it's easy to do, but we need to master it. And here's the key. And then I started thinking, you know, this isn't just for me. This is the coaching gods talking to me.
Right.
Because how many in your practice, you know this, but how many people out there that own a business or personally, back to where we started today, have not achieved what they're capable of achieving because of some small fear. And so when I went back to work with 3 months later, 3.5 months later, I was towards the end of the year, and I usually do year-end planning with my clients. And I said, look, we don't have time to do that. I'm just going to ask you one question. Now, one question is, life is best lived in fear. What little fears have kept you from getting the next level? And I'm telling you, Mike, it was the greatest year-end planning session I ever had with any of my clients. And because if we just sat down and analyzed what fears kept, I have one client that I did this with. He had taken a startup to about $600,000. He got stuck for a couple of years. I asked him this question. We found that one of his fears was that, once I got him to admit it, one of his fears was he hadn't graduated from college. He came from a poor family in the Midwest, and and all of those things. And I started thinking about that. People go, well, I came from poor background. I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm afraid. I've never done that before. That's too risky. You know, those little fears, and we got those solved. We worked on confidence. We worked on how to overcome that. And last year we went, in 2016, we went from about 700,000, 680,000. We closed the year out at 4.2 million.
Wow.
And we're targeted this year through one strategy that we came up with to break 22 million. And it was all because we identified a fear. So I identified 11 of these things, starting with life is best lived in fear. And now I've created a workshop and a seminar. I now do all this, and I work with business people. I work with business owners. It's also resounded very much because the theme of the whole thing is this. The theme is everybody gets a second chance, and we don't have to sit on our butts and wait for somebody to give us that second chance.
Right.
That we have the ability to give ourselves a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. Now, if you're happy with the way things are, fine. Understand that you're happy with the way things are, then shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love it. I love the way you put that, and I'll tell you. So the title of the book is A Life Best Lived.
Yes, sir.
Which is a story of life, death, and second chances. And where can our listeners find a copy of that book, Danny?
Yeah, we can get a book. We can get the ebook or the audiobook, and you can go directly to Amazon.com and type in Danny Creed, or you could go from my website where there's a synopsis on it, and that's www.realworldbusinesscoach.com, and click on book once you get there, and it'll take you where. And again, if you want to download an audio, if you want to buy the book or just an ebook, you can do all three from those two locations.
Perfect. Perfect. And we'll go ahead and put that up on thefocusguy.com where we have our radio show guest.
Thank you.
Listed there. And we'll have a page for you, Danny, with the book information and
thank
where
you.
Our listeners can find you. You're welcome. So I want to ask you a question because I'm thinking about the book. I'm thinking about second chances and those 11 steps that you walk people through. What is one that you can share with people that is really the most powerful? Because that second chance is, you know, and really that second chance that you received in that moment, and I'll share something with you because I want to get your take on this.
Yes.
My book that I wrote back in 2011 is WTF. And it came about when I was coaching a client. He said, Mike, you know, what the F is going on in my business? And I wrote down WTF on my coaching notes. And I asked him, well, where's the focus in your business? And it's all about using or through coaching, helping somebody change their mindset and using those WTF moments, those negative moments that we perceive as a negative. Well, it's actually a catalyst for a change, in my opinion, to say, I believe that God, the universe, however anybody looks at it, that really is a catalyst for change. And when you can do that and look at it or view it in a positive, then it opens your minds up to new ideas and possibilities, right? And it's unfortunate what you had to go through, a huge catalyst for change and a WTF moment, but it really did, I think, you know, in some regards, there's some positive there as well, because it's allowing you to share this story and with others, and also get some amazing results from what I'm hearing, right?
Well, yeah, it's an that's an interesting question, Mike. You know, somebody asked me the other day, I've been very blessed and very successful at this, mm-hmm. and helping my clients be really successful. And somebody asked me, so why should I hire you? The other day, over and above, they don't like the read materials. And I said, well, you know what, through all the startups and everything, I've had my rear end handed to me in 85 different ways in 32 languages. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, so number one, I understand where you're coming from. I really mm-hmm. believe it. And if anybody out there is thinking about hiring a coach, you need to look at guys like Mike or myself that, you know, anybody can call themselves a coach today. But you've got to look at people that have had some experience, that know what they're doing, that has a support team, that, you know, has some, you know, some background before. I mean, you wouldn't go, as I go through my surgery, I mean, I was laughed out loud one time before I was going in. I said, you know, this is like, if I needed a triple bypass surgery, I wouldn't go have my, I actually had a dream that I was having surgery and my doctor came in. I go, let me see the doctor. The doctor showed up. I go, well, you can't do my surgery. He goes, well, why not? I said, you're my veterinary. and he goes, yeah, but I'm a doctor, you know? And, you know, so I, you know, as you get down, so here's what I've done. I teach a system, you know, Jack Welch, the famous CEO of GE, he used to say, when somebody would come to him and ask him a question or want help, he would say, what's the reality? That's the way he would start every conversation. What's the reality? So from that, I took it, and I've seen variations of this, but I teach this and I live by it. And here's what I've done. There are four steps to what you're talking about. Any mm-hmm. WTF moment, any problems in your life, I have four steps I teach. It's real simple. What happened? Why did it happen? How'll it ever happen again? See you later. So look at that. What happened? That means let's be really clear and be mm-hmm. honest and understand what happened. Let's, okay. Then why did it happen? Well, let's analyze it now. Let's see honestly, why did that happen? And then how it'll never happen again. Let's come up with a solution. Mm-hmm. We can bitch and moan and gripe, or we can come up with a solution. Right. And then once you have that, you've now learned something. Mm-hmm. And the only mistake way it can continue to be a problem is if you let it and you don't learn anything by it.
And you continue to do the same thing that you were doing before.
Over and over again. So then I just turn my hand around, one, two, three, and then I turn my hand around and wave goodbye. Then I can walk away from that knowing I've got new knowledge. That's mm-hmm. the way you move forward. That's the way you learn. And that's actually part of the 11 decisions. So I think the answer to your question, the most important, I think, is still life is best lived than feared. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about that. Now, let me give you an example of one or two in here, how simple this is. Number five is that I prioritize my time. The most important things in life will never be at the mercy of the least important things. If anybody tells your listeners to go to a time management class, run away. Because in today's world, it is not time management we need to do. We need to learn to prioritize mm-hmm. everything in our business and life, have a priority, and then manage the time around accomplishing those priorities. We don't have to do everything. In fact, that quote, the most important things in life should never be at the mercy of the least important things, that comes from a German philosopher, and he said that in 1720.
Wow.
This isn't a new concept, folks, you know, but some people, most of us, because of all, have you read that the American attention span is like 7 seconds now?
Oh, it's, yeah.
We're checking emails. The average 30 plus something mm-hmm. checks emails 14 times an hour.
And we're an on-demand society.
And if you understand that you can't get back into focus for 17 minutes, that means that most people are completely out of focus all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So just the act of trying to prioritize what you're doing and then doing just those things will change your life. And real quickly, number eight is one I talk that really has business people or attendees just seem to really make sense. And number eight is I make it a habit to find and express gratitude and gratefulness for everyone and everything around me. That's important because how many of us woke up this morning, sat on the side of the bed and went, I got another day. Thank goodness. What am I going to do with it? You know, how many of us have made it a point to go out and have lunch today and say thank you to your waiter? I mean, it'll change your life. Sam Walton founded Walmart. Sam Walton, you know, pretty successful, nice little business.
Yeah.
He claims that the equivalent of my number eight here is what grew Walmart. He had a MBWA. He wore a baseball cap. I met him once, and he had that cap on. MBWA, managing by wandering around. He had an edict to his managers to find people, employees, to find them doing something right versus what usually happens if you've ever
right.
been, here comes the boss. Oh, let's hide.
Yeah.
You know.
They're always looking for something wrong.
That's right. He built a company out of MBWA, managing by wandering around. Tom Peters originally brought that up, but Sam made it an edict of his managers, and he made everybody look, be on positive edge all the time. He made his managers look for people doing something right. And I say as a business owner with employees or a business owner or just as an individual, it'll change your life if you actively try to find something to show gratitude for every day.
I love it. Yeah. And that's a key point. And for those listening to the show, there's two things that I want to mention again that Danny mentioned. One is gratitude. And we've talked about that on this show, Danny, gratitude.
Good.
I'm a big fan of gratitude, and sometimes people might find it silly, but I'm thankful for every little thing. I sit here literally in the mornings, having my cup of coffee or even writing, thankful for the fingers just to be able to write.
That's right.
I mean, it's huge. Think about it. How could I type or write if I didn't have that? Now there's technology that would allow me to do that, but I have my fingers. I've got all my digits. The ability to see, the ability on the radio show here to be talking to you and to be able to listen to you as well. I mean, I'm thankful for all those things. And I'll tell you, listeners, wherever you're at, if you're in a poor me moment and feeling discouraged or down, it's because you're not expressing enough gratitude. Literally every day you should be jumping out of bed, be thankful for every moment. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have Danny on the show and the title of his book. Danny, share that with us because it is so important, the title of your book.
It's called A Life Best Lived. A story of life, death, and second chances.
And every morning when you wake up, you have a second chance. Make the best of it. And I know, Danny, you're living, breathing, alive and well. And thank you. And, for that and sharing this message and taking that doctor's challenge, and because you accepted his challenge, right?
Yes.
To honor it. And you've created this book. Which is awesome. And I really appreciate you sharing your story. So that's one. The other point that I wanted to make with that is not only the gratitude is a great leadership tool, but the 11 points that Danny's talking about in his book here. And what's interesting that I'm finding that you've been able to take this experience and talk about life as second chances and roll it into also a business kind of self-help leadership book.
It is.
And who is the ideal audience for this book, Danny?
Well, it's different than what I thought when I wrote it.
Okay.
We have found that it, as I said earlier, it really rings true with a lot of business people, executives, entrepreneurs, because of the whole idea of second chances.
Mm-hmm.
But it has reverberated even stronger with veterans groups.
Okay.
With some church groups, which I didn't expect, the whole second chance thing. But it's really come down to just – really, I can honestly say, not tongue in cheek at all, that I believe anybody can get something from this, because I did a seminar a while back and we promoted it mostly in the business community. And I had a 93-year-old lady show up. I had a family that included teenagers show up. and sat and took notes and asked questions, because you know what? At the only time you've never failed at something is the day you're born.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime after that, we're always going to have screw-ups in life. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do those things. And some people take it harder than others. I think the difference between a great entrepreneur and somebody that says they are is a great entrepreneur, you know, understands the concept of what happened, why did it happen, how it'll never happen again. And people who don't make it worry about everything, you know, and they bemoan the mistakes they make. So I think, you know, the perfect, there's really something for the individual and family here, and there's really something for the business person, because I talk about goal setting and the importance of that, even some strategies in that. I talk about time management as the, there's three parts to the book. There's what happened, there's the recovery period of how I came up with this, and then there's the 11 decisions. And there's really, you know, if you just say, look, I deserve a second chance, and you've been sitting around waiting for somebody to give you that second chance, forget it now. You know, go out and take that. Take a run at it, or a third chance, or a fourth chance, or a tenth chance. We have the power. We have the power to assign ourselves those things, and that's the cool thing about being alive, Mike.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good spot as we're, you know, coming up to the end of our time here on the radio show. Leave it with that, because that is awesome. Danny, share with us again where they can find your book for those listening.
Sure. You can go to Amazon.com and just type in Danny Creed, and you can get a audio Audible. It's available in audio too, audio book, ebook, or a hard copy. And you could go to my website, which is www.realworldbusinesscoach.com, and click on book, and you can access it there as well. Thank you so much.
Oh, Danny, and thank you for being a guest, and thank you for, you know, your energy, your enthusiasm, and thank you for second chances in life.
Thank
I'm
you.
Serious.
I'm telling you, man, it's good to be alive.
It absolutely, absolutely. You have been listening to The Focus Radio. Mike Brenhog here, The Focus Guy, and you can get more information on this show or this episode. And Danny, we're going to have his information on thefocusguy.com. And I want to thank the listeners, and tune in next week where we bring you other great thought leaders, experts, and authors to share their story to help you increase your sales and grow your business so you can run it like a pro. Have an awesome day. And that's it, Dan.